one or have read it before and understand that it's offering you security even though there's a lot of trouble all over the place. One thing that we discover about God as we go on in Him, that Christian peace is not the absence of pressure or trouble. It's the presence of God no matter what the problems are or the pressures are. Can you say amen? Say that with me. Christian peace is not the absence of trouble or pressures, but it is the presence of God no matter what the problems or pressure. Amen. That's Christian peace. You need to understand that's Christian peace. The scripture is very, very clear that in this world we will have tribulation, thelpsis, pressure. It's going to be part of our journey here. God never promised you the peace that the dictionary defines, the absence of wars, the absence of conflict, the absence of pressures and problems. No, that's not the kind of peace Jesus was talking about. We need to really define that to new Christians in particular, because I think they think, if I come to the Lord, everything levels out. There's a hyper-faith teaching. I'm going to use that term hyper-faith because there are people that are making faith a do-all, cure-all, and it is not the do-all, cure-all. If it means that you can control your circumstances through faith instead of letting God control your circumstances and trusting Him no matter what. Yeah. Can you say amen? Jesus is the one that came on the bow of the ship and said, "Peace be still." And the reason that the wind and rain was immediately calm is because He was the Creator. Yeah. Amen. You are not the Creator. You're not on a God level. People say we're in a God class. I beg to differ. We're in a man class that needs God. And that's why He gives us grace. Can you say amen? That's why He gives us mercy. We wouldn't need grace and mercy if we were in the God class. We could just, you know, get saved, get in the God class. What do you need grace for? You're never weak again. Can you say amen? But Paul said, "I am weak. And when I'm weak, then am I made strong." And the Old Testament said to them that hath no might, they're the qualified ones for His strength. They're no might in looking to Him. One of the leaders of Israel of old, outnumbered hopelessly by an enemy that in no way they could fight in the natural, said, "Lord, we don't know what to do." Isn't that a great... If you're in a God class, you're never at a loss. You always know what to do. Some of these... I started to say Yahoo's. I don't know what that means, but it's a search engine on the computer. A lot of these guys and gals think they're in a God class, that they have all the answers and they just snap them out. You know, that's not true. Paul said we are persecuted but not destroyed. We are perplexed. That means we don't always know what to do. Why? Because we're not in a God class. We're in a man class, and we need a God constantly in our life. Can you say, man, we are perplexed. We're cast down. We're persecuted. Amen. And we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Why are we not in despair? Because He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." You don't have to have all the answers, but you have to trust Me. Can you say, man? And people trust Him with a purer faith when we don't know what to do than when we know what to do and we're just asking God Daddy's blessing to what we've already figured out. Amen. So it's okay to be weak in the presence of God as long as you're strong in the Lord. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. So God's looking for people to become ultra dependent on Him, not to become through faith more independent from Him. Amen. So we're trying to put ourselves on a level that God never intended. I'm so glad I don't have to be up on that level. I'm glad I don't have to figure everything out. I'm glad I don't have to have all the answers to all the issues in my life. I'm glad that even when I'm perplexed, I'm not in despair. The Bible said, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust ye also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." This is not something I manufacture or call into being by my faith. This is something God does as a result of my trust. And I don't know, I'm taken back by how many people follow these teachings because it's so clear to me. I mean, I just read the scripture and there it is. I mean, how clear do you want it? Amen. He's divine. We're the branch. We're never divine. Can you say amen? Everybody say, "He's divine.
He's divine.
I'm the branch.
I'm
never divine." It's good to be the branch. Praise God. It's good for God to be God and you to be you. And Him to make a commitment to you and ask you to trust in Him constantly. And the deeper life of faith is becoming more dependent on Him, not more independent from Him. It's not like saying, okay, Lord, I got it now. I can call the shots. I can confess it. I can manifest it. I can make create it with my own words because now I'm in a God class. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're a sinner saved by grace. Amen. And you stand by grace. And if it wasn't for grace, you would fall. And without the Holy Spirit, you'd be a hunk of mud. Can you say amen? Well, God is good tonight. Now, I love to be able to lean on Him. Amen. Like He asked me to lean on Him, to honor Him by leaning even more heavily on Him. The older I get, amen, the bolder I get in my faith because my faith leans more heavily on Jesus and less on my own ability to believe. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by my faith. Now he said, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My faith rests squarely in the love of God exhibited in Christ on the cross. Amen. And His concern and care and watch care over my life. That's a parent-child relationship. Amen. God really wants a parent-child relationship with us. That's why you begin the Lord's Prayer, the pattern prayer for us to pray, that we call the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. Everybody say a parent-child relationship. Can you say amen? The deeper faith is a simplistic faith. It's not a complicated faith. It is a trusting faith. How excellent is thy... Look at the parent-child stuff here. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men, Psalm 37:5, put their trust under the covert of thy wings. Amen. They know you to be a loving, caring God. Amen. Like a parent cares for their child. And because of that knowledge, they put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Jesus used that terminology over Israel. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't let me. Everyone that lets Him, He covers with those wings. And we put our trust under His covering love. Everybody say His covering love. Hallelujah. Everybody say that again. His covering love. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be covered tonight. Amen. And have a covering of the Spirit. We often think of our help in terms of just the power that the Holy Spirit has. But the Holy Spirit comes to shed the love of God abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And when we discover the excellencies of His loving kindness, it's easy to trust Him with our life and with our safety. Amen. If you never discover that about God, you're just building faith as a force and seeing God as a power. Amen. I used to teach erroneously that the power of God is like plugging into the wall socket. Tampa Electric's providing the power by faith. You plug in the cord, that power is going to be there. And what happens? The lamps run, the air conditioner runs, the radio, the stereo runs, the television runs. There's more to this than just plugging into power. There's a covenant God that loves you enough to give His Son for you, a Son that loves you enough to go to the cross and hang and die for you. And the Apostle Paul said, if you want to know the foundation for my faith, faith does in fact work by love. He said, if God loved us enough to give us His only begotten Son, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? The basis for every promise being fulfilled is the love that God has exhibited when He gave Jesus and when Jesus died on the cross. That's not just plugging into power. That's being loved like no one could ever dream of being loved by God. Can you say amen? For God so what? Loved that He gave His only begotten Son. You can trust in a God who loves you that deeply. And trusting in Him is what is equivocal to New Testament faith. You'll never understand New Testament faith if you don't understand Old Testament trust. It's impossible to define New Testament faith other than just a force that arrives as you study Scriptures or stand on promises. If you don't understand Old Testament trust, if you don't understand parent-child relationship, amen, you will never understand what God wants you to understand about New Testament faith. Amen. If it's a force that develops in you, there's no intimacy in that. Amen. There's absolutely no intimacy in it. God's kind of faith, amen, that develops is filled with intimacy. It's the intimacy that produces the faith. Amen. You come to know Him and to know His love enough to trust Him and trust His love for you. Amen. All right, let's go to Psalm 91 because these are troubled times. Now, I could go down a litany. We don't have time tonight, and I really don't want to keep on dwelling on all the things that are coming on the earth. But you read your paper, listen to the news. You cannot avoid. You'd have to turn off your television, never look at a periodical, Newsweek. You'd never take a paper, the Tribune, Los Angeles Times, New York Post. You would have to isolate yourself somewhere in a hermit type situation where you're living alone and away from everything, not to be faced with the crucial issues that are facing our planet, not just this nation, but the global stuff that is going on. The Bible said men's hearts would fail them for fear, and looking at the things which are coming. These are not unfounded fears. This is not unfounded paranoia. These are legitimate concerns, because these things are coming upon the earth. Amen. Somehow the Christian community has kind of divorced ourselves and isolated ourselves from the global community, in the sense that we believe that none of these things will affect us. But when you go to fill up your car, you're going to find out you're going to be affected. Amen. You're going to be affected. What happens to this nation will affect you. It's going to affect me. Is God going to take care of us? Absolutely. Are you going to have to reexamine your values? You betcha. Amen. You're going to have to figure out whether you still have money to give to God before this is over. And we're going to find out where God really is in your life. Amen. It's going to get down. It could go so far. It may not. I don't know how far it's going to go. I believe God's given us a wake-up call trying to get our attention. I honestly believe God wants our attention. It says, in God we trust on our money. I believe He wants that to become a reality. People are wanting to take it off our money. God wants it in our society. Whether it's on our money or not, He wants it in our society and in our culture. We need Him. We need Him desperately. I don't believe, and I'm going to get political here, and I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, because I can't and preach anymore. But I'm going to tell you this. Amen. Mr. Obama. Don't vote for anybody. It's hopeless. Can you know it's not hopeless? But I'm telling you this. Mr. Obama can't solve all of the problems facing our nation. The leaders of the world in the UN cannot solve the problems facing the world. Amen. They cannot do it. Amen. In fact, the problems are going to get this distress of nations with puzzlement, and this fear of the things coming upon the earth is going to get so pronounced in the last days that the world is going to be primed and ready for a man to step on the scene that has supernatural abilities to solve problems. Because the greatest, most learned men of our day has no idea how to solve all of these issues that have become global issues affecting the entire world. And the world is getting primed right now for a man to step on the scene in fulfillment of prophetic scripture. A man is coming that is going to solve a lot of the problems that the world is facing right now. But he's going to be an antichrist. Amen. Satan is actually going to pull back his forces and let this man appear as a man of peace. Because all of these treaties that can never be worked out, he's going to have a solution for it. The demon powers that inspire these nations to war, that no diplomacy is going to be able to stop. Hello? How many know diplomacy won't stop demons? And how many know something else? Until God binds up the devil, these demons are going to operate in our world. There is no real lasting peace until Christ comes. And the only reason there's going to be peace here when He comes is because He's going to rule out of Jerusalem with a rod of iron. Thank you for the hearty amens. Amen. He's going to be Lord, and you will obey Him when He comes. That's why there will be rebellion after He's here for 1,000 years. The millennial reign of Christ, there's still going to be a rebellion on this planet against His reign. It's an incredible thing to have the pure and holy one right here. It's no wonder that when I preach, I get hard looks and attitudes many times. Amen. Amen. When Jesus Himself is here, there's going to be an army raised. When Satan is let out of that pit for a while, the people that are just doing what they're doing because he has absolute authority are going to rise up in rebellion against him, according to the scripture. You'd think if they saw the glorified Christ and they saw the holy city come down and they saw the glory of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, that they would somehow respect and reverence him. But they're not good. Listen, angels that lived in his presence for eons, a third of them followed Satan in rebellion. And fell. Angels held not their first estate. The angels that sinned, that were in that rebellion, held not their first estate, but were wrapped up in everlasting chains of darkness reserved unto judgment. It's incredible. You think Satan doesn't have persuasive, pervasive power in the earth, even under the millennial reign of Jesus, when he's loosed from the pit, he is going to incite those nations that have not bowed to him to come to war against him. And to even think that they could defeat a supernatural almighty God is incredible to me, but they will raise an army. And there will be a battle called the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo. And that will be the last battle that's ever fought between light and darkness on this planet. There'll be no more. That will be the final one. They will be defeated, consigned to hell. It'll all be over, and there'll never be another uprising, amen, in God's kingdom. God is a gracious and good God, but he is Almighty God tonight. Amen. And the Bible said all the disobedient of this world and in the church that claim to be Christian, amen, the Bible speaks of the Spirit that now worketh, Satan is that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Can you say amen? Love has to be more than mouth words. It has to be more than sentimental songs on Sunday morning. Love has to be marked with obedience. If there isn't obedience, there is no love for God. Amen. According to the scripture, you can't say that he's your Lord and not obey him. Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, he said, and you don't obey the things which I say. This is incompatible. It's inconsistent. It's phony. Amen. You're deceiving yourself and you're being deceived by the devil. Amen. He was a rebel from the beginning. He was a rogue angel that decided to rise up against God. And so persuasive was he that a third of the angels followed him in the rebellion. And John said, I saw that great dragon and with his tail fall from heaven. And I saw him draw with his tail, amen, a third of the stars from heaven. In other words, heavenly celestial beings were brought. And they held not their first estate. You said, well, demons had to come from somewhere. You bet they did. And God did not create evil, neither. He's not the creator of evil. And yet demons are evil. So we got angels. Where did demons come from? I'm going to submit my understanding of that. Amen. They didn't hold their first estate. Amen. They lost their celestial bodies, if you please. Amen. They were demoted. There is a celestial body that angel spirits dwell in. And when those bodies were no longer inhabitable, those angels became demons. Angels, fallen angels can't enter you, but the spirit of a fallen angel can enter you. A fallen angel that's been corrupted because they sinned in pure light. And the accountability, that's why there's no grace for angels. The accountability for sinning in the light is stronger than sinning in the darkness of deception and delusion. By the way, it spoke of those evil spirits, the angels that sinned were wrapped up in chains of darkness. When an unclean spirit goeth out of man, where does he go? He goes back to his element where he's been consigned. He walks about in darkness. That means expressionless, feelingless. He has his life, but that life is a life in a vacuum. And the only way he can experience is to get in somebody and through that person vicariously experience. It's incredible. So here we are in a generation that we're looking for safety in things and people, and some people actually think if so-and-so was president, they can solve. I'm not saying that we don't need to pray about the president and pray for the president. I'm saying we need a revival in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need it in America more than we need anything else. And you just don't hear a lot of revival preaching. We don't even hear about demons and devils anymore. But we got young people walking in high schools and blowing people away in colleges and killing 30 people. But we don't even talk about demons or devils anymore in the Church of Jesus Christ. Did hell just close up and say, you know something, we're going to take a sabbatical. We're going on holiday. Amen. We've been stirring up too much trouble on the earth. We're going to take a rest from it all. No, it's preachers have lost a spiritual understanding. They're not looking at things through spiritual lenses. Everything has been lowered down from the heavenlies and even the netherworld, amen, and put on an earth plane. That's why a majority of teaching in the charismatic movement now has to do with the physical and the material, not the spiritual or the eternal. It's incredible that we would arrive at this place at this crucial time. when Satan is more active than he's ever been. We're seeing evil in America. We can't, Mike and I talked about the fact you can't blame it on the culture anymore. Because some of the kids that are doing this are not coming from across the tracks or from some drug atmosphere with their parents. No, they're coming from a home where people may be Christian, may be church-going. They may be straight-A students, as the guy that they just caught that was getting ready to bomb his school and take a lot of people out and himself with them. And now he's being tried as just like a terrorist would be tried for making weapons of mass destruction. And the stuff was being delivered to his home. I think his mama may have turned him in, or his grandmama, because all this stuff to make these bombs were being delivered to the home. He's a straight-A student. So there's no way to detect. The culture can't point to this or that is why this phenomenon is taking place in America. But the church can point to it. You're of your father, the devil, and his works will you do. He is that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we don't deal with the spiritual issues facing this nation. The majority of teaching is to get your needs met, and your needs are important to God. God loves you. He cares about what you eat, drink, and where you should be clothed. Your Father knows what you have need of. But He says this kingdom is always to be first. And it doesn't come with observation. It's not something tangible that you can see. Can you say amen? And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the kingdom. And there's preachers out there that know little about the kingdom of God. Last preacher I heard that tens of thousands were following on national television, amen, said that they put in the kingdom first means God's way of doing things, and then they give all these faith formulas instead of, and nothing in it about bowing to Adonai. Nothing in it about the lordship of Jesus Christ. The kingdom is the rule and the domain of a king. And when you seek the kingdom, you're not seeking some mystical, invisible world whereby you take reach into it by your faith and pull stuff out of it and bring it into the real manifest world. No, the kingdom of God is the rule and domain of the king. It's where he rules supreme. And the Christian heart is supposed to have the kingdom of God at home in it. And it simply means Jesus is Lord. See, that's the whole issue. Are you in the kingdom or are you out? Because if you say, Lord, Lord, as if you're in the kingdom, because in the kingdom there is a king. And he reigns supreme in this kingdom. And his subjects seek to obey him in this kingdom. We struggle with our flesh, the culture, everything else, but we never, ever question his right to rule. Woo! Somebody give him praise in here. We never question his right to rule. He's the king. It's his kingdom. It's his domain now. We're not part of Satan's rulership anymore. We belong to Jesus Christ. He is Lord of our lives. Hallelujah. There are all kinds of people that want that ticket to heaven. And all kinds of preachers that are just offering free tickets to heaven. Come get your ticket to heaven. Don't worry about bowing to Jesus. You can get in the kingdom without reverencing the king. You can get in the kingdom without honoring the king. You can get in the kingdom without obeying the king. Honey, it's not a kingdom if you don't bow to and obey the king. God wants intimacy. He wants it to begin with reverence. Those two words are holy and worthy. Let me just read a little bit of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most. Everybody say intimacy again. Intimacy. Sister Velma, would you do something that will get you a prophet's reward? All right, you thought about it. I'll help you to get the prophet's reward. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to try to define secret place just a little bit tonight, because it's not that God is mystical, shrouded in mystery, hiding himself. Amen. This is talking about that personal place that is absolutely between you and Him. Jesus talked about what we would the equivalent of the secret place in the New Testament. This is what He said. When you pray to your Father, He wants you to come to Him in an intimate, personal, childlike, father-son, father-daughter relationship. You're to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. That's how you're to, after you honor His name, hallowed be Thy name. Then you begin to come into His presence. Amen. You begin to pray first His concerns. Thy kingdom come. Before you even touch anything you need to pray for God's concerns. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I ask how many people prayed for the peace of Jerusalem, honey, there's so much turmoil in our life. We've been seeking our peace until we could care less about peace in Jerusalem. But the Bible said pray, amen, for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. How many people are doing more than complaining about our government officials? How many have ever got down on your knees and said, God, lead that person? God, if you have to shake them with the fear of the Lord, get their attention to the fact that we need more than just a pundit. Amen. Political pundits. We need someone who has encountered God in a way that they recognize that whoever leads this nation accounts directly to God, not just his constituents or his party. I asked the Lord, I said, how do you pray? And the only thing I could get in my heart back from Him was, how do you pray for leaders in America? Pray that whoever sits in the Oval Office, whoever sits on the Supreme Court, that the fear of God would fall upon them. So that they would consider Him in their decision processes. Whether they come to Christ or not, number one, pray that the fear of God, I mean, they should come to Christ ultimately, but some people that will never come to Christ recognize there is a God and they do not want to offend Him, even though they'll be lost when they die. I pray for the fear of the Lord to come to the Oval Office. I honestly pray for the fear of the Lord, because what else is going to help those guys? Amen? They don't fear nobody else. Jesus said, when you enter into your closet, close the door. When you pray, when you trust, when there has to be a relationship for that faith and that trust to be born out of. So when you pray, when you follow this pattern of prayer, enter into your closet. It doesn't mean this. It could mean this. It's not a literal closet. It's a place. But you'd almost have to find some place like that to get alone, get away from your phone. Listen, when you go to prayer, turn your cell phone off. Come on, people ask you to do that in many churches. Turn them off. I served recently, not too long ago, a few months back on jury duty in Tampa. I was in a civil case, and the judge was a nice guy. But there's one thing that he was absolutely intolerant with. And that was cell phones going off during testimony or during his instructions to the jury. He did not want to hear, amen, a cell phone. Amen. He didn't want to hear rap music on it. He didn't want to hear, amen, my cell phone. It was very loud, you know, because I'm getting older and I've worked around sound all my life. So this is a loud cell phone. And it had the Hallelujah chorus on it. Every time it went off, it went da 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 or something like that. It was, wasn't it? Da 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 da. And I'm fiddling for it. And I just had, you know, I almost fell asleep up there in the jury box one time. And by the way, the judge was nodding off too, so I didn't feel too bad. It was a boring part of the trial. And I was there for, I think, 5 days, 4.5 days or something like that in a civil trial. And I remember, you know, how you've been driving and suddenly you awake and wonder, did I nod off or have I really, you know? But I just did that and I thought, oh, Lord, I could just see the judge holding me in contempt or whatever they do when you do that, you know? And then I thought, did I turn my cell phone off? And did maybe somebody try to call me and it's going to blare. And I was fiddling for it and I touched it. And I thought, no, I better not turn it because I might turn it on instead of off. If it was off, I'll turn it on. And, you know, I just got this paranoia about my cell phone because he had said, I don't want to hear a cell phone in my courtroom during the course of this trial. His instructions to the jury, I don't want to hear. Listen, when you go to pray, your closet means you're going to find a place where you isolate yourself from all the distractions Amen. God is serious about this relationship with you. He's serious about listening to your prayer, but He wants you to make sure that you're as serious about talking to Him as He is listening to you.
Amen.
So enter into your closet and listen to this. He that seeth in secret will reward you openly. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High is dwelling in that relationship with Him of intimacy between you and Him with no distractions. The easiest part of prayer is to be prayed for. And there's a time for corporate prayer and there's a time to be prayed for. We used to have prayer meetings where we would have a chair. We would set the chair down and people would gather around the person in the chair and lay hands on them. They could relax. They could sit. If they fell out, they didn't have to worry. Amen. But what they could sit in the chair. And I remember going to a church where they sat me in a chair. When I had those nerve problems so bad, they sat me in a chair. They sat me down. And they just gathered around me and shored me up. And everybody reached over and touched me and began to pray. And I relaxed in the presence of God. Amen. It was so good. But this secret place is not about people praying for you at a home prayer meeting or any other prayer meeting where anybody else is around. This secret place is a place of intimacy. Yes. Amen. What's telling about the secret place is whether you have a personal relationship with God, or you just have a church relationship or a prayer group relationship, or where you have a personal audience with God. Amen. So many people are carried by the momentum of everybody else's faith and enthusiasm. But when you get in the closet, nobody else is there. And some of us don't know what to do in that kind of situation. It's just you and God and it's quiet. Lightning may not be flashing. There may not be goose pimples. Nobody be prophesying, interpreting. Some prayer meetings turn into nothing more than showcases for displaying gifts. It's not a prayer meeting. So-and-so gave 14 messages at the prayer meeting. Well, when did you pray? How long did you pray? That was a ministry service. That wasn't a prayer meeting. Prayer meetings to pray. Churches have prayer meetings on Wednesday, but people just praying didn't capture many people. So it's just another preaching service now. Hello? Isn't it? You ever been to a prayer meeting where they did nothing but pray? Prayer meeting where you do nothing but pray? Well, we read the Bible. I'm not talking about Bible study now. I'm talking about it's a Bible study prayer meeting then. Or it's a showcase of ministry. We've invited a guest to speak to us at the prayer meeting. Why? Let the guest speak at a speaking engagement. This is a prayer meeting. When do we get in the secret place? When do we personally get in the secret? I believe that we have a deficit of secret places in the Church of Jesus Christ. Remember when we taught on the meeting place, the tent of meeting? Moses began to demonstrate that God wanted intimacy, wanted to talk to people. Prayer is not just talking to God or making petition, it's also hearing from God. And there was a tent of meeting, and it was separated from the camp as Israel moved in their exodus. And Moses would go to the tent of meeting, and God would show up. He that dwelleth in the secret place. You can't be fearless just by developing your faith. You need to get to know your God. Can you say, man, enough to trust Him through anything? Everybody say, trust Him through anything. Say it again, trust Him through anything. Hallelujah. The only safe place. He that seeth, how? When you come to Him in that personal faith, that private, personal, deep, intimate faith will reward you openly. So quiet in here. We struck a nerve, didn't we? Didn't we? Oh, you're listening. Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. I want to get all I can out of this message. That could be the case. I've been preaching for over 35 years. I've seen every kind of emotionalism. I've seen every kind of showcase of gifts. I've seen every kind of egotistical, I've seen people follow anything just to get a sensation. In the secret place, sometimes you may have the manifest presence of God, and sometimes it may just be you talking to a God that you believe exists. The Bible said they that come to God must believe that He is. Can you say amen? How many believe that He is? Amen. That means that He exists. And how many believe that He cares? Because that's an essential to faith. He is and He cares. Whether you feel anything or not, I'm not preaching against experience. I love to experience the presence of God. But you dwelling in the secret place, if you go and you don't experience that, it don't mean that He isn't. And it don't mean that He doesn't care. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who what? Diligently seek Him. He's responding to people who will enter into their closet, shut to the door, i.e. turn off the cell phone, unplug the landline, turn off the television, turn off the radio, even turn off other Christians. Inevitably at a prayer meeting, someone will say, we need to pray for Sister So-and-so. Why? And here we go. Because she's been running around with another man, another woman's husband, and he's been running around with another woman and seeing her on the side, so they got two. And her husband, did you know what he did? And we need to pray for them, because I'm telling you, he did, and she did, and he did, and they did. And everybody's saying, oh, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. No, that's not it. That's not what that's for. We may need to give a few little bits of information. It's not to share salacious gossip. Holy thing. It's not to showcase spiritual gifts. Thank you for the hearty amen. Spiritual gifts are not for the prayer closet. They're for the body ministry, for the edifying of the body. They're not for the. If you're going to a prayer meeting to get a prophecy, you're not going to pray. Hello? No, you're not going to pray. If you're going to pray and God decides to give you something else, that's up to Him, but that's not why you're going. He that dwelleth in... Are we defining the secret place a little better? Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. He that seeth in secret shall reward you openly. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. What is that? That's that place of personal intimacy between you and Him. Everybody say the place of personal intimacy. I can tell any time in a congregation, you guys tonight, we're down to the faithful few, so you can exempt yourself from this. But in generally in congregations, I can tell who knows anything about the secret place of the Most High. And it usually shows up in worship. I don't see people's prayer life. I don't know. You don't see mine. You don't know. My wife don't know all about mine when I pray. Amen. I don't make a spectacle out of it. I have a personal time with the Lord. And I have it. And it's actually become something, not just a one time a day or a 1 hour a day. It's become incorporated into my life as a lifestyle. I talk to God on the job, on the way to the job, on the way home, and all kinds of situations in between. Amen. It's become something that's fitting me more like a glove fits you than something I have to put on, stretch to get into. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's not just I'm going to dedicate myself in the morning to 2 hours. Too many people have made these goals and they didn't reach them, so they give up on the whole thing. Can you say, man? This thing is being incorporated into my life. I talk to God. Something will go good at work and I begin to thank my covenant friend. Something goes bad at work and I start asking Him for grace. Give me grace and mercy right now. Jesus. I mean, it's just a continual thing that's beginning to evolve. I want to abide. Amen. I want to dwell. Come on, not enter 2 hours a day. I want to dwell. He that dwelleth. And that means to remain constant in the secret place of the Most High. Do you stay in petitionary prayer? No. But you always stay in intimate relationship where you and God are speaking to one another. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You'll be as constantly protected by Him as you are intimate with Him. Can you say amen? So when trouble comes, you don't have to get old rusty faith out and try to dust it off and make it work. You and God are walking together daily, talking together daily. Even on the greatest days of your life, you're still expressing your dependency upon Him, your love for Him. Hallelujah, in the secret place, you're dwelling in it. And you're abiding, which means to remain constant under the shadow of His wings. Psalm 90, verse 1, before you get to Psalm 91, says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all our generations. This is not something we do just on Sunday or in the time of crisis. We live in this faith. We live in this trust. Every day we ask you to give us our daily bread. Even in the times when everything's okay, we acknowledge you're our source. Can you say amen? And when the times are bad, we're already there in that place of trust. Amen. Isn't that incredible? You're understanding the secret place? God's not hiding. Amen. But he said, you will find me when you seek after me with all of your heart. Doesn't mean he's hiding and you've got to find him. He's playing some kind of cruel game of hide and seek with people who need him so desperately. It means that if you don't seek God wholeheartedly, other things are going to distract you and divert you constantly. Your worries, your fears, the circumstances in your families, your finances, your life. He says, when you go in the secret place, shut the door on all that. Shut the door on all your worries, all your fears, all your problems, all your pressures, and come before me. When you come out of that secret place, come out with the assurance that he that saw, that took notice, amen, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears and his eyes are connected. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. His ears are open to their what? To their cry. Amen. So he said, he that seeth in secret will do what? Will reward you openly. See, we're not teaching intimacy with God. We're teaching faith formulas to get stuff from him. How to confess it until it becomes reality. You don't need to spend time with the Lord in intimacy. See, that not only are you making petition in there, but you're worshiping him, you're loving him. And you know what will happen in intimacy? If there's something you need to get straightened out, God lovingly but firmly will talk to you about that thing. So that there will be nothing to inhibit that answer in your life. You get soft in that secret place. Can you say amen? And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of his wings. Because you're going to discover something about his loving kindness that no theology from the book can ever convince you in that secret place. You're going to get to know him personally and intimately. And amen, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Amen. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of his wings. Can you say amen? I rely on him because I know he loves me. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, cast your care upon him because he cares for you. The incentive to trust is knowing just how much he loves you and how much he wants to help you. Can you say amen? It's not just claiming promises. It's getting to know a person's character. Hallelujah. And God's character is divulged through his names, so that we know them intellectually, but by his Spirit, that we might know it, amen, spiritually and personally. You can't just have head knowledge that God loves you. Intimacy with him means that the Holy Spirit's going to shed that love abroad in your heart. Amen. One writer said, one paraphrase of that said, we feel his warm love everywhere. Isn't that incredible? We feel his warm love everywhere. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You start talking different. You come out of that relationship with him in verse 2 and you say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. Hallelujah. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers. Everybody say, Father, child. Come on, this is love stuff. This is intimate stuff. Covering you with feathers is not just saying develop your faith until you can manipulate all of life's situations to your comfort and convenience. It says, run to me and let me close my wings around you. That's why I said if you don't understand Old Testament trust, you'll never understand New Testament faith. And the people teaching the wrong thing about New Testament faith are not even talking about Old Testament trust. They're not talking about the secret place either. They're not talking about intimacy with God. Why do you need intimacy? You can get everything you need through a faith formula. Why do you need this person? Why do you need to lean on him, look to him? Last time I looked, Jesus was the author. Jesus was the finisher. He was the A, He was the Z of faith. He was the Alpha, He was the Omega. Can you say amen? Amen? And the life that Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Amen. Enough to give Himself for me because He gave Himself for me. Can you say amen? You see the love and intimacy in false faith who loved me and gave Himself for me. Faith worketh by?
Love.
Say it again. Faith worketh by?
Love.
Say it loud.
Love.
Say it proud.
Love.
Hallelujah. By love. Follow after faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is not faith. It's love. Enter into your closet, close the door. A prayer meeting was closed down by a pastor of a Pentecostal background church years ago when Brother and Sister Hodges was telling me about that, and they questioned his wisdom in closing it down because some lady had come and began speaking in that prayer meeting, and she spake, and he didn't know where she was coming from, what she was teaching, and he's a pastor over people. Pastor has to know where people are coming from and what they're teaching.
Amen.
Huh? Yes, they do. If somebody's going to teach you other than your pastor or along with me, I need to know where they're coming from, who they are, what are their credentials, and what are they teaching. But she decided to use the prayer meeting as a forum for her own pulpit ministry. And he said, that's not a prayer meeting anymore. And he's right. Prayer meeting is not for people to preach at. Prayer means to pray.
Amen.
Someone wants a pulpit ministry, start a church, become an evangelist. Don't invade a prayer meeting to promote your ministry. What about the secret place? What about he that seeth in secret? It's amazing the self-promoting people that are just trying to get a following. Open a storefront. Tell them to come on. Amen. But don't interrupt the prayer meeting. Y'all are listening real good now. I can tell. It either is or it isn't. But don't call it something it isn't. If it's another gathering to get gifts to operate and have things happen, you say, well, God did that. No, God did not do that. The gifts are subject to the prophet, and that's not the place for showcasing gifts. That's the place to pray to Almighty God. We need to touch God.
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name, would get together and have another Holy Ghost showdown. No, if my people, which are called by my name, would get together and have holy laughter. No, if my people, nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves, but if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. This land is in need of a healing. And this land is not healed. So we need some teaching on prayer. You say, well, it's so sinful. That's why God can't. No, that's not it. Where sin doth abound, His grace does much more abound. We need to get preaching pure again. Pure from all the cultural influences and let it come directly from the Word of God. Can you say, man, we need to get prayer purified again. Free from everything else but intimacy with God. Anything we do in terms of gift that says, hey, look at me. The gifts are to edify the body.
That's right.
Not to qualify ourselves as spiritual.
Amen.
And without love for that body, for the people, for the hurt, for the broken, for the people under pressure, the sick, the afflicted, the divorced, all these things that hit our lives. Gifts of the Spirit are to edify and build that body up. And they're to operate in love. Though I have faith to move a mountain and people stand in awe of my mountain moving faith, if I don't help somebody that is in desperate need, amen, through the love of God, I, it profits me nothing. God said, you're not going to be rewarded even though you've got the best business in town and it's growing every day. That is not what the gifts are for. For the building up of the body. Wow. So after 35 years, I get to the point, I said, you know, I don't want the phony stuff anymore. If there's a secret place, I want to get in it and I want to tell other people about it. If it does not exist, let's just keep doing what we're doing. But let's don't mingle it. Let's don't mix it up. Let's don't say, you know, I just want more blessing. I just need more blessing. If I could just get enough blessings. Honey, there ain't enough blessings to take the place of the blessing of intimacy with God. There's nothing you can feel. There's nothing you can experience. Amen. That takes the place of entering into a personal relationship with Him so that He can give you peace that passes understanding. And whom having not seen, let me tell you the intimacy in the New Testament. Peter said, whom having not seen, to those believers in that first century church, whom having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. Where's the glory in all of this? Amen. Glory is always in the presence of Jehovah. Can you say amen? These were people that were dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. These were people that were praying in a place where God saw in secret. These were people that got to know Him individually, intimately, and personally. And when they came out of His presence, amen, they loved Him. Hallelujah. With joy unspeakable and filled with God's glory, that attends His very presence. They came to church wired. Oh, you don't know. They didn't come to church to watch the show. There was no show. Amen. There's a wrestler. He's 6'7", 400 pounds or whatever, and they call him the Big Show. You know why they call him the Big Show? Because when he walks down the aisle, ain't nothing bigger than He is in the building. Can you say amen? The Big Show is not the anointed preacher on the pulpit. Amen. That's not the Big Show. Big Show is not whoever is the most prominent preacher on television. Amen. That is not the Big Show. Amen. Amen. The Big Show is not who has the gift of this or the gift of... The Big Show is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen? Yeah. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whom having not seen... You love. Everybody say the intimacy's got to be there in this New Testament faith. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 John says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The word fellowship there is koinonia. It is a word used interchangeable throughout Scripture. Communion, fellowship. Fellowship, communion. And it always connotates and carries intimacy. Personal relationship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what God is calling you to. He wants you to do more than just come in desperate prayer, use a faith formula, and then run out. You know, we got a brand new junior operator in Blow Mold. Now I know the room. I've been in there for a long time. Matter of fact, at 2:30 in the morning, I'll be getting up to go back there because I'm trading for somebody for a day. So, but I know where everything is in there. God's blessed me. I'm constantly saying to Him, thank you, my covenant friend. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Sometimes I actually believe. See, I'm way out there. I'm wired. Sometimes I believe angels help me do my job.
Amen.
Because things happen that's just so good. It doesn't mean that things don't go wrong, but God helps me to work around it and not let it get to me. And God helps me to fix some things that look like they're unfixable. But we're using old equipment that's been there for years, and we make 100,000 bottles a shift. And it's just, you know, it's an incredible place with all that stuff running. They can't run a drop of milk, orange juice, iced tea, or belly wash. Belly wash is all that sugared water Kool-Aid looking stuff that, hey man, you get cheap to give your kids instead of cold drinks. Can you say amen? In the summertime, we sell a lot of belly wash. That's what we call it. We got a strawberry belly wash, fruit punch belly wash, lemonade belly wash. Amen. We're running, and it goes direct from us to the machines. And if it clogs up, all those machines spinning, 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 just like that. Gallons, gallons, gallons. You know what the company sees? They do not see gallons, gallons, gallons spinning. They see dollars, dollars, dollars. It's just, their eyes go like Scrooge McDuck, and they get dollar signs in them. Amen. And what they see when those things are spinning, you know, they see, you remember Scrooge McDuck, don't you? Anyway, they see that spinning, and as long as that's spinning, they say, you know, money, we're making money, we're making money, we're making money. When that thing stops spinning, they say, we're losing money, we're losing money, we're losing money. Amen. And they come running, amen, into our room. Where's the bottles? Where's the bottles? Where's the bottles? And it's so good to be able to fix that and get them going again, because when they see that thing spinning, they say, And sometimes the Lord absolutely helps me. And I just talk to Him throughout. I don't just wait to get home, to get somewhere isolated. Amen. I just talk to Him on the job. I talk to Him going. I talk to Him coming. I talk to Him all the way in between. Amen. And I'm trying to develop a dwelling in the secret place. Yes. Not just a coming to the secret place, but a dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Because I want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because the only place in a world filled with the troubles that we're facing is under the shadow of His wings. Can you say amen? Knowing you're close enough to God that His wings are raised over you and you are in the shadow of them. And as long as you know, amen, you know what those wings do when they have to, when they need to? You know what chickens, little chicks do when it thunders? They go running to mama. And what's mama doing when she sees them coming? She just spreads them out. When they gather close to mama, everybody say intimacy. Intimacy. Come on, you get that out of faith. It's not biblical faith at all. God is God. We are the little critters that need God. Come on, we're the little peeps down here. Everyone, I tell you, the most bold preacher you've ever seen is a pipsqueak. Amen. We just little old baby chicks down here. Without His wings to run to, we are vulnerable to everything in life. But because of those wings, even little chicks can be bold in the day of trouble. Because when He closes those wings around us, thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that wastes at noonday, nor the terror that walketh by night. Pipsqueaks start talking boldly. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. And in Him will I trust. Amen? And if we don't get to that place of faith, then we play games with God. And if people don't get an intimate prayer life, personal, they can lay hands on you, you can sit in the chair, but when fear comes, if you don't know God, it's going to grip you. In spite of all the people gathered around you, all of the faith formulas, it's going to grip you. The safe place is the secret place. And the secret place is the place of intimacy with God. Verse 4 said, He will cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. This is not just the truth that makes up all Scripture. This is His truth. It's the truth about Him. It's what you know to be true about your God. They that do know their God. You can't just take the Bible and not fear because you read the book. You've got to know this God. You say, oh, Brother Ben, here's the Scripture that I know people think of immediately because it's been drummed into you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As I read anywhere in the Bible, faith comes. No, no, no. Faith comes by knowing God intimately and personally. And in this book, there is a revelation. I love what one man said about the Bible in its entirety. He said, as I read the Bible, a man began to stand up. See, your trust is not just in a book as holy as it is, but in the truth that is being told you in this book about the person of God Himself. Can you say amen? He said, and specifically, he said a man began to stand up. A glistening man, a powerful man, a loving man, a kind man, but an almighty man. And he said, from Genesis to Revelation, I begin to see Jesus in the garden. Jesus in the beginning. I see Jesus, amen, as the blood sacrifice to offer. Jesus, author, finisher, A to Z of my faith. Becoming more dependent, learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'll say of the Lord that I know personally He is my shield and my buckler and my rock. I'm not just repeating words I've been taught to say, confessing things by faith that I don't really feel and believe. It's a God that I've come to know.
Yeah.
And through that knowledge come to trust. Trust is an intimate word. You've got to know somebody to trust them. Amen? I mean, you don't want to trust that guy. He says, I got a deal for you. Come here. Yeah, you. Come here. I got a deal for you. I don't know who you are. Don't even start with that stuff. Stay away from the telemarketer that says, you've just won a condominium. Yeah, right. Mail me the key and get out of my life. No, it don't work that way. Then I don't want it. Just get out of my life, then forget the key. It's free. I'm just going to jump because it just goes on down, tell you about all this deliverance. Go with me to 14 and let's close. Verse 14. Now, David is responding to this God who he's come to know in the secret place. Not only does he understand God's love for him, but now David, in intimacy, is loving him back. Amen? So how's this secret place faith stuff work? Well, verse 14 says, now God, David was talking about God, and now David is being talked about by God. You know, it starts out, sometimes you start out praying, and then after a while God starts talking to you. My wife and I began to pray one night, amen, and the Holy Spirit then came up. God began to speak to us. We were in desperate prayer because we encountered demon forces, and we were rebuking the devil and crying out to God, and then all of a sudden, right in the middle of crying out to God, amen, God gave me a message. Prophetic message, and the Lord began to speak to us. Isn't that incredible? I'll never forget that. And how bold we became. I mean, we were still shaking in our boots, but God had spoken. Amen. We know we did. This wasn't emotionalism. The only emotion we were feeling was fear and trembling. But God spoke. Listen to what He said about David in verse 14 of Psalm 91. Because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Come on, this secret place is where you develop intimacy with God. You ever been to one of these faith ministers talk about loving God with your whole being and your heart and your life? Because He's what? Why am I delivering Him? Just because He uses some force called faith? Because He set His love on me. Is that what it says? You'll never understand New Testament faith until you understand Old Testament. See, the reason they didn't go back and rehash all of that, they already had all of that Old Testament. They were reading Psalm 91 in Jesus' day. Can you say, man, they understood what was being said about Old Testament trust. So when the word faith came up, they immediately equated it with what they were reading in the Old Testament about Jehovah. When we hear it, not staying, most of the teachings are coming from the New Testament, except the out-of-context stuff they're pulling out of the Old Testament for convenience. But knowing God is not part of the formula, intimately and personally. Come on, you know better than that. You know what these people teach. They're not teaching you to get intimate with God. They're teaching you formulas to get your need met, whether you know Him or not. Whether you're a sinner or not.
Yeah.
Whether you're involved in fornication or not. Doesn't matter. You send the check. You get the blessing. You sow the seed, you meet your deed. Whether you're right with your brother or not. Whether you've forgiven your enemies or not. Whether your heart's right or whether it's wrong, the heart isn't an issue. Only thing that's an issue here is a checkbook and a formula. How phony is that? You're dealing with God Almighty, not that evangelist, not that teacher, not that preacher. and when fear comes. You know, the separator of the last day, I've got to say this just before we close. Fear is going to mark the end time. One of the category of people that couldn't enter into the gates of that city were the fearful and the unbelieving. The fearful and the unbelieving. The fearful and the unbelieving. Why are people fearful? Because they don't really know God. That don't mean fears don't come, but what time I'm afraid, what do when fear grips us? We run to God. What time I'm afraid, David said, I will trust in you. But fearful people don't trust in Him, so fear stays in their life. The Bible said fearfulness in the Old Testament has surprised the sinners in Zion are afraid. Because when you're out of sync with God, out of fellowship with God, you can't use faith. You can't deal with fear. The sinners in Zion, covenant people, but out of relationship with God. What happens to them? The sinners in Zion are afraid. What marks them? Fear. And fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. People that are playing church every Sunday. When something really happens, some big event, some terrorizing event, they don't have peace and can't find it because they don't have a relationship. Saying, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Some people can't take the thought that God may move in judgment. And yet He did through every nation He's ever had a relationship with, including the chosen. We're a wild olive branch grafted in. We are not numero uno. We're numero tuo. Amen? The Bible said, don't you boast yourself against the true vine. They were cut off because of what? Disobedience. Boasting against the true vine means I'm going to be blatantly disobedient and be blessed anyway. The New Testament writer said if He cut off them, the very chosen, the beginning, before the gospel was preached to the Gentile, the covenant people, if He cut them off because of disobedience, what do you think is going to happen to you? You think He's going to let you slide under in the name of grace or whatever we want to use as the excuse? No, He's not. This is in the New Testament under grace this teaching is brought forth. Amen? This is not an Old Testament scripture. This is New Testament under grace. Grace is not a cloak for our rebellion and our need for repentance. It doesn't cover it up. It's to forgive us when we do repent. Can you say amen? Not to exempt us or absolve us. Because He set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I'll set Him on high because He's known my name. We could go into that because the name showed His character. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And how does all of this faith to bring all of these protective promises into the life? Because He set His love on me. Faith which worketh by love. And we love Him because He first loved us. How excellent, that's what you discover in that intimacy. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. What a sweet peace comes from the secret place of the Most High. Amen. So I think we need to pray again. I think we need to seek God and not just seek a blessing. There's a place and time for you to be blessed of God. But there's a time to seek the Lord. And I believe we need to seek Him by believing that He is and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. You may, Monday, if you decide to make a time in your life for a secret place between me and God right now, you may go to a prayer meeting and it's wonderful where everybody else is and you should. Amen? If any two of you on earth, that's a place for agreement. Spiritual agreement is so important. But I'm talking about your individual personal life. I know people that have attended church, prayer meetings, the whole gamut. and had nervous breakdowns, went off the deep end. I know people that have hung themselves. One lady that used to attend our church services hung herself finally because she couldn't find any peace. She had listened to teachings and tapes and been in spiritual services and fallen out under the power and had all of these experiences, but she didn't find peace in her mind or in her heart. So it's crucial that we do more than just attend church and go to meetings and get blessed. We need to get to know God somehow in Pamela's life. Beyond me, my teaching, my preaching, any counsel that I may give. She asks a question, she gets a sermon. I can see her face when she asks. She said, I just wanted you to answer this little thing right here. Amen. And I'm like a Dake's reference Bible. I'm like a chain reference. I'm going, she's walking away and I'm still in a rant. I'm raising my voice. And